In order to have a sense of what on earth all of those names mean, in order to be able to grasp what it is that Luke is telling us when in this third chapter of his gospel, he describes the beginning of the ministry of John the Baptist, we need to do some work. We need to do some homework. We need to go back to the first reading, back to when the prophet Baruch was giving this teaching, was giving this proclamation. Baruch, we read in the prophet Jeremiah, was his secretary. So Baruch is prophesying at the same time that Jeremiah is, which means it's during that period of utter desolation, when the people of God had been taken captive, when they were treated as slaves, and they lost all of the land that they had been given by the Lord, when the empire of Babylon had swept down upon them and utterly devastated and destroyed both their capital city, Jerusalem, and their temple, and all their identity, political, cultural, and religious, was caught up in the city of Jerusalem and in the temple that was at the heart of the city. Everything that they based their lives on, everything that they built their whole identity upon, was destroyed and demolished in that action of the Babylonian Empire. And so when Baruch tells the people that in the days of old, you were escorted by military might out of Jerusalem to where you are now, over there in the east, in Babylon. It's in modern-day Iraq. They thought that everything was lost, everything was destroyed, and it was. For us to understand what is happening, what these prophecies are about, we need to remember the way that everything that they had based their life upon was completely, utterly devastated and destroyed. It's hard to grapple with, hard to imagine what that would mean for us, what it would take for the way that we understand the world to work to be so completely destroyed as it was then in the 7th century before Christ. And so it's important for us to understand and hear what the word of the Lord addressed through the prophet Baruch means. When Baruch addresses Jerusalem, this city, still destroyed, still ruined, but he says to her, stand up, arise, throw off the cloak of mourning, and do something else. Look to the east, look to Babylon, because there you will see what my work is about. There you will see my mighty hand raising a new people. People will come from the east and the west. They will be gathered back, and every mountain will be flattened, and every valley will be filled in to make smooth the path of this new people of God, because God has not forgotten his covenant, the covenant that he established with his people. First, when on the mountain of Horeb, there in the desert, in Sinai, in Exodus 19, when the Lord addressed himself, not to a single person, not as he'd done in the past to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and to Moses, but now he addressed himself to the whole people, and he promised to be their God and that they would be his people. And the Lord continued to be faithful to the terms of the covenant, even when they as a people and as a nation forgot the covenant, and they went against it, and they sinned. Even though all of that, and they knew that that was the reason that this exile had happened, that was the reason that they had lost their freedom, and that they were now in slavery in Babylon. They knew that, and they understood that. But the word of the Lord continued to be addressed to them. And here in the prophet Baruch, the Lord addresses them and says, throw off your mourning and come back, because my salvation will happen in your midst. And the word of the Lord continued to be addressed to the people, to call them back from exile, to call them back to the land of the promise. But time had passed, and century had been replaced by century. The word of the Lord was last spoken through the prophet Malachi, which was 460 years before Christ. And now they were into another generation. And now they were under the reign of a new empire, the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire had conquered the Holy Land about 100 years before. And so then when Luke addresses this gospel, and when he says, these are the people who were in control when these events happened. When Tiberius was the Caesar in Rome, Tiberius had taken reign about the year 15 in that first century. And so here it was about the year 28 or 29. When these other people, when Pontius Pilate was the local governor, when these two sons of Herod the Great, Herod Antipas and Herod Philip, these two descendants who he had shared his power, and they were the Jewish kings in the north of the empire. And Licinius was up in the region of Damascus. These were the local kings who were in control and had authority over the land. But they weren't essentially Jewish leaders and rulers. Yes, they were Jewish by nationality, but they weren't the ones who acted according to the will and commandments of the Lord. They essentially were simply puppets of the Roman Empire. And then during this time when Annas and Caiaphas were the high priests, Annas had actually finished his reign as high priest about 13 or 14 years before. Caiaphas was at the time the high priest, the highest leader of the religion of Israel. And if the Lord wanted to speak again, as the people longed, as the people wanted, they desired to hear the word of God again addressed to them. It had been almost 500 years at this point since the Lord had spoken to them. And they longed to hear the word of the Lord. And so when Luke begins this address, yes, he situates what is happening quite specifically historically. A little bit as if we were to say that today Queen Elizabeth II is our monarch, that Quentin Bryce is our Governor General, that Kevin Rudd is our Prime Minister, that Anthony Abbott is the leader of the opposition, that Christina Keneally is our new Premier. Within this province of New South Wales and ACT, that Cardinal George Pell is the Metropolitan, when Peter Ingham is our Bishop, when Patrick Faraday is our Parish Priest. The Word of the Lord came. But the Word of the Lord did not come through any of these people. Back in the first century, they would have expected the Word of the Lord to come through one of those people, through one of their leaders, through one of those who had been appointed over them. But Luke is saying, no, the word of the Lord did not come to any of those people. The word of the Lord was not addressed in Rome. The word of the Lord was not addressed in any of the main cities. The word of the Lord was not addressed in Damascus. The word of the Lord was not even addressed in Jerusalem. The word of the Lord came to who? To John, the son of Zechariah, a nobody. And where? In the desert, in the wilderness, away from all of these places of influence, and not by any of these people who did not represent the sovereignty of God, who did not represent the power of God to bring new life and change into the people, but who represented oppression and power and domination. The word of the Lord was addressed again. After nearly 500 years of failing to hear the word of the Lord, when there were no prophets who were open to God speaking to his people, suddenly the Lord spoke again to John. And John repeats the words of Isaiah. And John repeats the words of Baruch. That the way of the Lord will not be forsaken. The way of the Lord will be made smooth. The way of the Lord will be allowed to flow forth again. Every mountain will be lowered. Every valley will be filled in so that the people of God are able to once again be what they are meant to be. And how will they do this? If they hear what God says through John. And if we do as John says, if we repent, if we turn away from everything that prevents us from living the commandments of God, if we repent and turn from anything that locks us inside ourselves, if we listen to the word of the Lord that is addressed to us through St. Paul in the reading from the letter to the Philippians today, when he calls us into this holiness of life, that is the way during this season of Advent that we can indeed live the way that God has called us to live, that we can indeed be the people that he has made covenant with, that we can take our proper place, that we can be ready to welcome the Lord and His coming, that we can turn to become that sign of salvation present among our world. That is our invitation. That is our call, to listen for the word of the Lord, to repent, to be cleansed, to be renewed, to be washed in the waters of baptism again. And the way that we do that is through the sacrament of reconciliation, the sacrament of confession, to allow the Lord to cleanse us, to renew us, so that we can be His people and that we can be ready to receive the word of God and share that as His people in this world at the present.